2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. This is the reading of God's word. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. O Father, pour out your grace upon us who are hearing your word. It is only by the work of your Spirit that our faith will grow. We pray that you pour out the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to your people on this glorious day. That all your people will know your Son a little bit more on this glorious day. And Father, let us be like him, imitate him in everything that we do, everything that we say and even think. Oh Father, let us hear your loving voice through your word, telling us the stories, wonderful stories, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be very happy and give you all the glory. Bless us, and we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, and are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We die so that life works in others. We live by faith. And question today is, what do we believe? Verse 13 says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak. A quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10. And question is, what do we believe, and thus, what do we say? What do we speak? Well, Paul gives us the answer, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. God, who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, will, with him, raise us also. This is what we believe. And how we live, how we do things, how we say things, and how we even think things, it's all according to this belief. This is what we believe. Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and we will be resurrected also with him. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it has so many important meanings. And we don't have time to get into all of them. But one of them would be that we too will be raised we will be resurrected to a glorified body with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says, But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 through 17, But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, meaning who died physically here, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have been fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and will with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. At the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we too will be resurrected, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 23. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, after that, those who are in Christ at his coming, who are Christ's at his coming. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has been resurrected from the dead, and he has ascended into heaven, and he is coming back, and at his return, all of his people will be resurrected from the dead to a glorified body, and will live with him in heaven forever and ever. And this is what we believe, and thus this is what we speak. And because of this faith in resurrection, even when we are afflicted in every way, even when we are perplexed, even when we are persecuted, even when we are struck down, we are able to live our lives with joy. Because our hope is not focused on things getting better in this world. Our hope is in heaven. Yes, things might even get worse. But our eternal reality, the eternal reality of our salvation, which is already accomplished spiritually, it will not change. See, our focus on that reality, our faith in that reality, our faith in what our Lord has accomplished for us, that faith makes us live with joy, even when we're afflicted in every way. See, it's not just, you know, trying to be blind to what is happening in our world. Our pain is real. But we live by faith. We believe what our Lord has done and what He has accomplished for us. And whatever we think, whatever we understand and know, all those things are in terms of what we believe. We live by faith. Our hope is not focused on things getting better in this world. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in resurrection. Jesus is the first fruit. Now, what is the first fruit? What does it mean? It is the representative, you know what I mean, of all the rest of the fruit. It represents all the rest of the fruit. You know, when you do harvest, you harvest first fruits and know that, whoa, our harvest is going to be good one or bad one because all the rest of fruit will be just like those first fruits. Jesus is the first fruit. And in Jesus Christ, the harvest of God has already begun. See, harvest of God is gathering of His people. So when Jesus returns, all of His people will be gathered in heaven. But that harvest has already begun because Jesus Christ is the first fruit. The first fruit has already been gathered, and after Jesus was gathered, and it's not just us, you know, He was bodily resurrected, that gathering, that harvest has continued until today. You and I, we have been gathered. Well, only, you know, spiritually, not bodily yet, but we have been gathered. That harvest has begun and is continuing and will be completely consummated when Jesus returns. That gathering will be visible when Jesus returns. And it is with Christ. We are united to Jesus Christ, our Lord, in every way. We have died with Christ and died to this world and died to sin, and we will resurrect with Christ, but spiritually we have already resurrected with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 5, "For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Our bodies will be resurrected from the dead. Our spirits are already resurrected from the dead. This is completely different from the Greek philosophy. It is not that only our spirits are saved, thus only our spirits will live forever. No, that is not what the Bible teaches. Our bodies are also saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, and our bodies will be also resurrected to a glorified body, and both body and spirit will meet once again, and as a complete man, we will live with God in heaven forever and ever. You and I, we believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a very unbiblical way. You know, some people even say today in 2012, His word is being preached. So in that sense, He still lives. He's resurrected. No, that is not what the Bible teaches. He resurrected from the dead with a glorified body 2,000 years ago. If there is no resurrection, bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then our faith is false. And we are the most pitiful people in the world. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let us read a few verses from that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared to me also, Paul says. Go to verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You must understand how central this doctrine is to our religion. If there is no resurrection of Christ, then there is no Christianity. Christianity is false religion if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, if He is still dead, that means whatever He has done for us, the Father did not accept. Which means when He died for our sins, Father did not accept that. It has so much implications, and we don't have time to get into all that, but if He did not raise from the dead, then our sins, we still have our sins to pay for, and we will all be condemned eternally. Through His resurrection, Jesus has shown to the whole world that He is indeed God, that He never sinned, and that God the Father has accepted with pleasure all that He has done for His people, that all our sins are completely paid for, and that we will also resurrect with Him when He returns, resurrect to a glorified body, the body that is just like the resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 says, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to himself. It's very clear. God will transform our body into conformity with the body of his glory. So Jesus was bodily resurrected. Now he has this glorified body. And when we are resurrected bodily, our bodies will be just like his body. This is what the Bible clearly teaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 55. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? This is what we believe. This is our hope. And after we're resurrected, we will be with God forever, ever in heaven. The same body as our Lord's, the body that will not perish, the body that will not die, the glorified body. And we will live with our God in joyous fellowship forever and ever. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This is what we believe. And this belief dictates how we live, how we think, and what we speak. We believe our heavenly reality, and we witness through our lives the reality of heaven that has been already accomplished spiritually by our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been already resurrected from the dead spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is already accomplished. We are already seated at the right hand of God with Christ in heavenly places. We are already citizens of Christ, of heaven. And this is what we believe. Thus, this is what we speak. You and I, we live according to the reality of the end. We live according to what is true of us in the end, in heaven. We live according to the reality of his return, Jesus' return, his second coming, the most joyous day for us. We live according to that reality. Because we are the believers. Christians are believers. If you don't believe, then you're not Christian. And when we say we believe, and thus we speak, that means everything about us is in terms of that belief. How we think, how we say, how we do things, everything about you is dictated by this belief. That's what separates Christians from the world. That is why we are not able to live like people who belong to the world. We don't live like that. As if we don't believe. As if we don't believe in heaven. We don't believe in resurrection. As if we believe this world is everything. That being healthy and wealthy in this world is everything. No, that is not how we live. We believe that our Lord is coming back. And when He's coming back, the whole world will be destroyed. How foolish we're going to feel at that day when He comes back and everything, if we live according to the world, everything we accomplish in this world, God will destroy. Your life has been wasted. No, we believe. Thus, we live according to what we believe. His second coming is our hope. And from the very beginning, if you read the Bible, every answer, every hope is God's coming. Whatever problems you might have, when He comes, it's solved. That's your hope. When He appears, all your problems are gone. But see, He came once before, and He's coming again. So in one sense, He already came. So in one sense, all your problems are already solved. If you believe. Spiritually, you have been saved out of all the problems of this sinful world already. And when He returns, when He comes again, now everything will be consummated. Do you understand what the Bible teaches us? What is the answer for all our problems? It's God's coming. It's not what you have to do or your effort or whatever. It's God coming. That is the answer. And we live looking forward to God coming. Because that is the answer. See, you think that if some of your problem in your life is solved, let's say like you have no job and you find a job. And you feel like, oh, my problem is solved. No. You still have so many problems. Jesus' coming is the answer. When He comes, truly, there will be no more problems after that. And this is our hope. This is what we are looking forward to. And we live according to the reality of that day. That's what drives us. That's what dictates us. His second coming, the most joyous day for us, the most glorious day. It is the day in which all the heavenly realities will be visible. It is the day in which we will be just like our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the day in which the image of God will be completely perfected in us. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. No, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. 2 Peter 1:4, For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Partakers of the divine nature. You're going to be like God. It is the day in which all of us will be gathered in heaven. That day on, we will be able to love our God perfectly as we are also loved by Him. That day on, we will be able to love one another perfectly. We will sin no more. That day on, no more sorrow, no more mourning, pain, suffering, curse, no more Satan, no more this world. No more. Sweet, joyous fellowship with God forever and ever. And this is what we believe. Thus, this is what we speak. This is how we live. In terms of this reality. It is our present spiritual heavenly reality. We already know the end. God has told us. And we live according to the reality of that end. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, what did happen? What did change? How do you understand the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? When He was resurrected from the dead, what happened? What changed? What is now, because of His resurrection, our eternal reality? His resurrection, like I said before, has so many important meanings. And today, just let's deal with just one. Just one thing today. His death and His resurrection clearly shows that we have been died to this world and now resurrected unto God. That we have died with Him on the cross to this world and in His resurrection, heaven, and the life that belongs to heaven for us has now officially begun. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Through His death, we died to the world. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We have been already resurrected, recreated in the image of God. We are the new creation. The new creation has been accomplished. The kingdom of God has been accomplished. Heaven has begun. And we must live according to that reality. We must live according to what we believe. We believe that we are now dead to the world. We believe that we are now new creation. We believe that we are a citizen of this new world, heavenly world, God's kingdom. And we must live according to what we believe. We must speak, we must act, and we even think according to that reality that has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 20. Now, we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but you understand that this is dealing with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a story about what happened on that glorious day, glorious Lord's Day, Sunday morning, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Now, let's read from verse 8. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Look at these disciples. They were with Jesus Christ for 3 years. Jesus Christ taught them for 3 years. In the beginning, Jesus called them to be the fishers of men. They understood what their job is now. And look at here. They did not understand the scriptures yet that he must rise again from the dead. So they come to the Jesus' tomb. They look inside. Jesus' body is no longer there because he was resurrected from the dead. And they did not understand fully what is going on. And he says, disciples went away again to their own homes. And in chapter 21 of John, you see them doing their old job. They're fishermen, and they were actually fishing. Even though God has called them as now the fishers of men, they go back to their old job. Resurrection of Jesus happened. And these disciples saw the empty tomb and they went home as if nothing has happened. As if the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has no impact, no meaning to them whatsoever. Business as usual for these disciples. They do not understand what the resurrection of our Lord means. It's a cosmic event. The new world has been accomplished. The new creation has accomplished, and these disciples, they go back home as if nothing happened. The world is just the same to them as before, because they do not understand. How about Mary in our chapter? If you read the chapter, you understand Mary is crying next to the tomb, crying because she cannot find the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, as if she wants our Lord to be still dead. She doesn't get it. She doesn't understand. What is she hoping for? To find the dead body of Christ? She's crying. Who took our Lord's body? In chapter 20, verse 19, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. It's not just those disciples who came to the tomb. All of them. They were hiding. They're fearful of this world. The world that killed my Lord, maybe they're going to come and kill me too. They're fearful, scared. As if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Do you understand what the resurrection of Jesus really means to you? Because of his resurrection, what has changed? What is now your eternal reality? John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. We cannot be like the world. We no longer belong to this world. John 17 verse 16, Jesus says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 to the 16, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let us truly understand what has happened and what is really happening. Do not just look at the things that your physical eyes can see and that is everything. There's another reality. There's another world in which you belong. And you cannot live according to this sinful world anymore. Not after resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot live as if he never been resurrected from the dead. That this world is everything and there is no heaven, no resurrection. Brothers and sisters, understand what Paul is speaking to you. This is why even when we are afflicted in every way, we're still joyous because that is not the only reality we face. Actually, that reality is just for temporary. And we have the eternal reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. That is why in this world we live as exiles, as we look to heaven, as we believe what our Lord has done for us and what He has accomplished for us. Just as the dried bone came to life in Ezekiel 37, we too will resurrect from the dead when Jesus comes back. This is what our Lord has accomplished for us by dying on the cross for our sins and living that perfect righteous life for us. Psalm 16 verse 8 to 11, I have set the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. This is our reality. We believe because of our Lord's resurrection. We believe even if I die, I live forever. And if I live, I will live forever with God. Do you understand? Because of His resurrection, now we are able to live this glorious, victorious life in Jesus Christ. Everything has changed. The world is not the same anymore because of our Lord's resurrection from the dead. You must live according to that reality. Reality that our Lord has been resurrected from the dead. And this is Paul's argument in our passage. And he will continue to say the same thing all the way through. That is why he says, even when we are afflicted in every way, we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Do you understand his argument? Because what we focus is not the things that are seen, but things that are not seen. What happens to us in this world is temporary. How He made us in heaven, that is forever. And we live according to what Christ has done, what He has accomplished. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in heaven. Psalm 17 verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. That is our hope. That is what we believe. Thus, that is what we speak. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You allow us, You enable us to live this glorious, victorious life of heaven. Even when we still live here on earth, that in Christ we are united to Christ and we live the very life that Jesus lived, we have the very life of Christ. Oh Father, let us live this resurrected life in Jesus Christ, with gladness, with joy. No matter what happens, let us also be able to see through our faith the eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished. The reality of our Lord's resurrection from the dead. O Father, let us truly realize and believe what that truly means. What has happened and what has changed. Let us live according to our heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Oh, Father, we love you, and let us live this glorious life with joy, joy of heaven. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.